One, two, Freddy's coming for you. Three, four, better lock your door. Five, six, get the crucifix. Seven, eight, better stay up late. Nine, ten, better sleep again. Or never sleep again. Damn, I fucked it up.
He's coming now.
Son of a bitch.
I don't know if you should mess around with that stuff.
Do you like Freddy Krueger?
No.
Does anyone?
I never saw those movies. I was not too scared. One? No. Horror movies never really worked for me. I've only watched them against my will, forced by other people.
Sadly, I've seen every single one at least three times.
Wow.
Not really against my will, but not fully incorporated in with my will.
Your will was hiding in the Libran fog.
Mary had a little lamb, little lamb, little lamb. Mary had a little lamb whose fleece was white as snow. That's another thing that reminds me of that same song about Freddy Krueger.
Yeah.
That song, Mary Had a Little Lamb. It's weird. It's creepy.
Yeah, I guess so. I never really thought about it.
Mary, a little girl, has a little lamb who follows her around? What the fuck is that all about?
Lambs are often associated with, like, creepy things, too. And witches and sacrifices.
So you're telling me little girl Mary, probably 7 years old, has a little lamb that follows her around and goes with her to school and is just hanging around. It doesn't seem right.
It made the children laugh and play.
By doing magic, like, yeah, psychotic, true, evil true. Magic.
Yeah.
Ring Around the Rosie.
That one is definitely creepy. I mean, that's confirmed creepy, right? I mean, what does it have to do with, like, the Black Plague or something?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. We all fall down.
Ashes, ashes, we all fall down.
Yeah.
In the symbolic realm of what we're talking about here, the songs and the stories of children, or for children, are incorporated into our adult waking consciousness, but we forget. So the Ring Around the Rosie, Mary Had a Little Lamb, and any other type of child fable, Rapunzel, Rumpelstiltskin, are incorporated into our waking consciousness every second, but it's not really utilized with awareness as to what it is or what it could be. It's like a soul symbolized fable that is actively in the background of our consciousness at all times and living there doing something. But what is it? What are those fables, stories, myths, songs doing to our adult waking consciousness all the time?
Well, and it's weird in this culture because there's not really, as we've talked about before, there's not really a current mythology or a set of stories or fables that are useful. So then you have these weird odds and ends, and then all the just stuff that really, I don't know, like, doesn't have any meaning. Like the Christmas Story, the movie, A Christmas Story, we were talking about that the other day.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that a thing that everybody watches that movie? I never liked that movie. I thought it was disturbing for some reason. And it's become a complete part of the culture. It's just so meaningless. I think it's because people don't really understand the power of these things or what they're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
So then just the psyche needs something, and then it grasps onto whatever it can find, which right now is a bunch of crap.
Yeah. So the songs and the symbolism are something at one time, but at this point they're at best marketing campaigns, and at worst just unacted out karma mixed with nostalgic purchasing impulses.
Yeah.
I was just thinking about the movie because on Christmas Eve, if you live in the United States and in the United States and you're a white, middle-aged, or live in the suburbs or the city or wherever, you probably are going to watch A Christmas Story at least once, mm-hmm. depending on your age. And the whole story is really about Ralphie just wants a BB gun because he wants to be a cowboy, really. Ultimately, Ralphie wants a stylized, heroic journey.
Mm.
But he can't get one because he lives, I think he lives in Chicago. It's cold. It's like the 50s. Cowboys are dead. The whole fucking thing is bullshit. There's no American West left. Little does Ralphie know. But in his mind and in his child psyche, he's grasped onto the Red Ryder BB gun as a symbol for male heroic, like a quest.
Mm.
I think Ralphie really wants to go on a quest, and he has a lot of illusions or fantasies during the movie where he's fantasizing about shooting bad guys with his gun, being a cowboy, and stopping crime with his gun. But really, that is just the typical male archetypes that have been in existence since the dawn of time. The man shoots the bad guy, saves the day.
Mm-hmm.
The man goes on the adventure, comes back with gold for the village and saves the day. This is all Ralphie really wants, but the movie is one-dimensional. That is totally consumerism mixed with just weird things. And then that has been turned into some sort of non-myth that today we use as a security blanket for our lives, that we're a part of something, or we could be a part of something, but really we're not a part of anything. No one is. So we cling to these movies and nostalgic things in order to connect us back to our own souls, where it may have been possible at one time to be the beautiful maiden who is waiting for her heroic soldier to come back from the Babylonian Wars or whatever. Instead, we watch The Christmas Story mm-hmm. on Christmas Eve and are totally dissatisfied with everything.
Mm-hmm. How does the movie end? I didn't like it. I don't know. You know, when I was a kid, I just didn't like it for some reason, so I never really watched it.
Behind the back of the mother figure, the father, is his name Ralphie? Yeah, I think so.
I think so.
Ralphie's dad buys Ralphie a BB gun without telling his wife that he does this.
Hmm.
And he hides the BB gun in the house. And then at the last moment, the dad says, "I think there's something behind the drapes over there." And then Ralphie, this is like later on in the evening mm-hmm. or in the afternoon after Christmas is totally over.
Mm.
And he gets the present, and it turns out to be a Red Ryder BB gun.
Mm-hmm.
And the mom is like, "What the hell? I thought I said we weren't getting him a damn gun."
Mm-hmm.
But he says to the wife, "Well, you know, I got it for him, and I had a gun when I was a kid, and it's going to be okay. Calm down," pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
So Ralphie gets the gun, goes outside to test it, and immediately shoots himself in the eye and breaks his glasses.
In the eye.
And that's the whole thing of the movie. "You're going to shoot your eye out. You're going to shoot your eye out." Like, he can't have a BB gun because BB guns are too dangerous, and you'll shoot your eye out.
I see.
Everyone he tells that he wants a BB gun, the first thing they say to him is you'll shoot your eye out. And that makes him want the gun more, really. Mm-hmm. And so at the end, he actually does shoot his glasses, breaks his glasses, runs inside. He makes up a story to his mom that an icicle fell on his face.
Mm.
And then he gets away with it. He thinks that the dad's going to be mad because he broke his glasses. But
mm-hmm.
I think that's it. The end. I think that's the end. That's what happens, and then that's it.
He broke his glasses. Did he like actually hurt his eye?
No, not really. Okay. Just a minor, you know, just like it scared the hell out of him. But then wow. He just broke his glasses, and his mom gave him a new pair or an old pair until mm-hmm. he could get some new ones.
Ah, all right. Yeah, I mean, maybe I'm seeing all these things about it symbolically.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think overall the message is one of killing the soul
mm-hmm.
and especially killing the male soul.
Mm-hmm.
The boy, I mean, he's probably...
He's 10 years old.
He's 10, okay.
10 or 11.
I mean, in some cultures, 11
mm-hmm.
was when the first male initiations would start, and 11 to 13.
Mm-hmm.
So really what should be happening is that he should be getting initiated by his father
mm-hmm.
or other men into the use of weapons
mm-hmm.
and completing some sort of quest, like you said,
mm-hmm.
to become a man or to gain entry into manhood.
Mm-hmm.
But then he can't do that, and the father can't even do it.
Mm-mm.
They're totally emasculated by the mother
mm-hmm.
who has forbade the men to do what the men actually should be doing.
Mm-hmm.
And then it comes true, like everything that everyone's been telling him to be afraid of
mm-hmm.
ultimately is correct. Mm-hmm. So fear is correct
mm-hmm.
and it shoots his glasses so he can't see.
Mm-hmm.
So then it's like killing the vision.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there's a good propaganda movie to crush everyone's soul at a crushing time of year anyways.
Right, the dad's gone. He's at work somewhere. He's not really around.
Mm-hmm.
The mom is the central figure of mm-hmm. the household. She doesn't work. She says, no, you can't mm-hmm. have a BB gun. You'll shoot your eye out.
Mm-hmm.
Then Ralphie asks, he writes a paper at school about how he wants a Red Ryder BB gun. The female teacher gives him an F.
Oh, my God.
And says at the end, or maybe it's not an F, it's like a C minus or something. And on the very end, her comments are, you'll shoot your eye out.
Oh, my God.
And then he asks Santa for a BB gun when he goes to the like a Sears-type department store. Santa says, you'll shoot your eye out, kid, kicks him down the slide.
Oh, my God.
You know, and then at the end, yeah, he really does. He doesn't shoot his eye out, but he shoots his glasses off, simulating a loss of eyesight.
Yeah.
Doesn't Chiron have one eye? No.
I don't know. I don't recall that. But there are other figures that have one eye or lose an eye.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And I mean, I think what I didn't like about it was the tone. It was somehow like bitter or dark to me. I didn't like the humor of it. I didn't think it was funny. There's something with the leg, and like a mannequin leg.
The dad wins a prize. He thinks he's getting like a bonus of some kind for Christmas, but what they send him is a lamp in the shape of a woman's leg, and then she's wearing a fishnet stockings
mm-hmm.
and has like high heel shoe on
mm-hmm.
and then the lamp shade is like red with lace or hanging
mm-hmm.
stuff, and then he puts it in the living room window so everyone can see. And he says he's like proud of this. This is his gift that the company gave him. And he's like in love with this lamp. It's like a sex symbol. Ralphie even says in the story, because the movie is narrated by Ralphie the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And he says the lamp is like electric sex.
Mm.
In the window for all the neighbors to see. And at some point later, the mom is dusting and accidentally drops the lamp, and the lamp breaks. And the dad is like pissed and says that she broke it on purpose and she denies it, but then she says she hates that lamp. And so yeah, the wife actually destroys the lamp, the symbol, the sex symbol, and the man like is pissed about it, but you know, he doesn't really show much signs of being super interested in her, at least not really.
Yeah, so basically everybody is frustrated, not allowed to express their true nature. It's a good, it is kind of a good characterization of at least the direction that the culture has been going since the movie came out. But it's like a bleak one. It's kind of nihilist, really. I mean, it ends with a bleak moral, like you shouldn't have dreams. They won't work. And listen to what the adults tell you. You should be afraid.
Listen to your mommy.
Yeah, definitely. And then the dad, yeah, obviously the lamp is like porn, but he's not really allowed to have porn. So he has that. And then that's like in his mind a symbol of his virility or something. But then she breaks it, emasculating him further. And then she, the wife, is like jealous of a lamp because she also is not getting anything that she needs. Let's watch this movie like 100 times, everyone.
Yeah.
Why not?
Every Christmas.
I think this is definitely helping the situation.
What happened? The movie, I think, was made in the 80s, and it's like a stylized version of the 50s. You know, I don't know who the writer is, if he's writing about his time as a child and at Christmas, possibly. You know, maybe it was made, probably even made in 1987, I bet.
Probably.
But it's like a stylized, nostalgic movie about something that shouldn't be romanticized and now is romanticized to the max and plays directly in to the propaganda of modern culture, or the lack of culture of in the US at least.
It was written by, well, based on the humorous writings of author Gene Shepherd, 1983.
All right.
Oh, and there's a bully involved.
Oh yeah, the bully is a total prick and fucks with Ralphie and the kids. And one thing about that though is Ralphie snaps one day and beats the shit out of the bully
Oh, really?
and is like just on top of him, beating him, and his mom comes and gets him off, and then as a punishment she puts soap in his mouth
Oh, yeah.
because he was cussing like the whole time he was beating him up.
I see. November 18th, 1983. So it was released in a Scorpio Sun. And it was based on the author's 1966 book, In God We Trust, All Others Pay Cash, with some elements from a 1971 book he wrote.
I see.
So yeah, it's in the 1940s, so he wrote it in 1966. So yeah, probably is like the author's own childhood
I see.
perspective, of like complete, what's the word for that? Where there's like, just like suburbs. That was like the height of suburbia, blandness, total
TV
loss of,
dinners.
yeah. I mean that like the loss of any kind of American culture or identity or I don't know. Interesting. So, it's a bleak perspective written as satirical humor, which is good. We like satire. But on the other hand, I don't think that people even understand the satire of it because it's largely symbolic. So it's just being taken in to the psyche as a myth or a story. I mean, it is a story. It's a current myth or a current fable at the level of, pervasiveness that it's achieved.
Yeah, I mean, it's as ubiquitous as the Easter Bunny.
Right. Yeah, interesting that they play that on repeat, but not, I mean, they do play It's a Wonderful Life, but not like that.
No, I would say It's a Wonderful Life is like number six to maybe not even in the top 10 as far as like if you were to do a poll on the average American family of what they're doing during Christmas.
Right.
Christmas Story, then Christmas Vacation, Elf, I don't know, a bunch of other stupid Disney ones probably. You know, it might make it on the list perhaps, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, or would A Christmas Carol make it on the list?
Oh, yeah, Christmas Carol probably won't make it either.
I don't think it would make it now.
No, no way.
I mean, it's lacking. So A Christmas Carol has meaning and hope. I mean, we're on it's a Sagittarius new moon tonight around 11:30 Mountain Time. But yeah, I wonder if just the Sagittarian meaning, the need for meaning and the philosophy. I mean, that A Christmas Story obviously is giving people meaning. I think it's like what you said, though. It's just like a comforting, it's like a comforting misery. Reassuring misery, which is what most people are feeling, we were just talking about, when they are going home for the holidays. So maybe it just fits a vibration of that. Like familiar suffering. Everyone's quashed. Their souls are quashed. They have no, I don't know, it's like bitterness and disembodiment and I don't know.
Yeah, it's not exactly the answer. It's not the answer. It's the symptom of a sickness that has been allowed or just has been playing out for pretty long time at this point. 100, 200, 500, 750. I'm not sure how many years. But it's a symptom of that as opposed to just like a thing. Like just out straight up propaganda. It's just like, what else are you going to make with what's going on? You know?
Yeah. And it's interesting that it's like, it came out in 1983. So, I mean, that's 40 years ago.
Well,
there hasn't been another movie that can take its place in 40 years.
Elf.
Yeah. I never saw that.
People love it.
Really?
It's pretty, it's actually has, Will Ferrell's dad is, Bob Newhart. Yeah, I think it is Bob Newhart. So there are elements of comedy in it. It's, you know, it's okay. It's just not that super meaningful.
Yeah.
And it's pretty stupid.
Yeah, because, It's a Wonderful Life is meaningful. I mean, it has some meaning in it. Some message in it.
Well, it's also more symbolic and has more elements of the possibility for change and that change is even necessary because the movie has a lot of hope in it and a lot of despair, but it also kind of highlights the fact that change is going to be helpful because what is Jimmy Stewart's character's name in the movie?
Oh, I'm not sure.
But he learns that his way is wrong by witnessing his own non-existence. He realizes that he doesn't like it. So when he snaps out of it and comes to, he decides to change, like pretty much has a spiritual awakening. That is what the movie really is. I mean, he has a spiritual awakening.
Yeah, definitely.
From an angel helps him, and then he changes his ways, and that is perceived as a positive thing that you would want to do. Which, you know, that's pretty good.
Which actually is the same with A Christmas Carol. They're both a hero's journey, really. I mean, so a spiritual experience or a hero's journey in It's a Wonderful Life, the journey is to the other side and back, which is similar for Scrooge. I mean, he he interacts with ghosts. That's from the other side.
Mm-hmm.
From the past, the ghosts, what, present, past, future.
Mm-hmm.
And then he has a spiritual awakening as well, I believe.
Yeah, he does. He goes and gets Tiny Tim, tells the dad that he's hired back, but even better.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're no longer poor. He starts giving away all his money to people that because he doesn't need it.
Mm-hmm.
Totally changes everything.
Yeah. I wonder if they even show. I mean, I can't really critique modern television programming because we don't have television.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't even know if they show those two movies. Or not the It's a Wonderful Life and A Christmas Carol. But they definitely seem to show the other one. So A Christmas Story is like an inverse reflection of a hero's journey. It's like the non-hero's journey.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't get to go on the hero's journey.
No.
Nobody does.
No.
The father doesn't either. Mm-mm. So it's showing the world without that mm-hmm. process. And it's not good.
No.
And it doesn't turn out good for everyone or anyone. Which is the opposite of what happens when there's an actual spiritual awakening.
Right, yeah, you get somewhere other than where you were.
Yeah.
In Christmas Story, everyone gets pretty much a spoonful of despair to pass around. And
right.
And that's all that they can hope to have, and we should be glad to have that, which goes perfectly with your modern-day person living out there. You know, just keep accepting the abuse from your father, mother, brother, sister,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
child.
Yeah.
In perpetuation forever. It's not their fault. It's not grandma's fault that she's a bitch.
Right.
It's not grandpa's fault that he's a racist, sexist pervert. It's not your mom's fault that she will manipulate anyone at the drop of a hat, including you and anyone that gets close to her. It's not your brother's fault that he is a total asshole, and if you try to talk to him, he's going to talk shit to you immediately.
Mm-hmm.
So just suck it up. You know, it's you know, that's them.
Mm-hmm.
So just accept them and go sit down and eat some fucking turkey right next to them, and do it every single year until your own death and their death, and do it with a smile.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's
sick.
It is sick. I mean, that is the current, that's the current mythology. That's the current story.
Mm-hmm.
That's necessary. That's what you have to do. There is no other option. And I think A Christmas Story is a perfect movie to watch if you're in that state of mind, because then it just kills any hope or possibility.
Mm-hmm.
And it actually mocks it. Like, he's mocked by everyone with the "you're going to shoot your eye out" thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then it actually happens. So it's an excellent allegory for giving up hope and
mm-hmm.
having any dream that you're going to get the fuck out of there.
Mm-hmm.
That's not possible. Aren't you, you know, some kind of idiot for thinking that
mm-hmm.
and then totally proven to be the case, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, we were talking just about the spell of the family and how difficult it is to free yourself from it. And the Thanksgiving thing as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, and Christmas, both. They're just made up things that are not really tied to anything at this point.
No.
But because they've been there for our whole lifetimes and the previous generation's lifetime, at least two generations back, I think,
mm-hmm.
since the Christmas has been the way that it is.
Yeah.
Then that somehow represents something that it's not. It's like the Pisces thing I was talking about of it's a fake. It's an illusion.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fake promise. It's held out every year. Holidays are going to be time for, you're going to have what they have in the commercials,
mm-hmm.
Coca-Cola commercials or whatever.
Warmth, forgiveness,
yeah.
Family,
yeah.
Love,
yeah.
Camaraderie, compassion. Suddenly you'll remember that you're on earth and you're human and that other people matter. For 2 months, suddenly.
Yeah.
Your family and other people matter. All the rest of the time, fuck them.
Right.
But for these 2 months, they're great.
Yeah. Right.
And that you want to be with them. They want to be with you. And that if you just keep doing it, it's going to be true.
Right. Yeah. And we were talking about even just how powerful the whole thing of the holidays is, that even if you decide not to go be with your family, then a lot of people still try to make it something else. Like, we're going to have our own Thanksgiving. We're going to have our own ritual.
Friendsgiving.
We're going to make our own rituals for Christmas. And we're so that each generation just continues to buy into that fundamental myth rather than just seeing that Thanksgiving is not real. It's nothing. It's not tied to anything. It's not real.
No.
So having any expectation at all of it being something turns it into some sort of hell.
Yeah, it does. And that's where it's easiest to go. It's easy and comforting to go to hell as opposed to the difficult road to heaven. You're not going to get to anywhere good as easily as you're going to get to somewhere bad. All you have to do to get somewhere bad is do drugs, watch porn, eat fucking Lucky Charms for breakfast and Golden Corral buffet for dinner and drink alcohol in abundance each day. And you'll be immediately in suffering. It's so simple, but it's difficult to go the opposite way and be in a different state of being.
Yeah, it is difficult. What do you think what is the function now of all these holiday myths? I mean, obviously consumerism, everyone knows that. But deeper than that, there's something going on that people keep holding on to it. I mean, it's just that the false promise that it holds out every year of this year is going to be different. You're gonna have a place where you belong. Or you said something about people watch the A Christmas Story because they feel like then they're a part of something. Like it's like a replacement for culture of some kind or community.
Yeah, I think what is happening is that you can't kill the soul. So people have to have something, no matter how inverse it is. You can't kill the myths or archetypes or the unconscious or subconscious. Everyone sleeps every single night. And in the dream state, people can fly and can do anything, can have interesting experiences. And they keep waking up. So, in order to keep a population or a culture or anything going in any way, you have to give them something, even if it's fucked up, or else it's gonna just be 1 cubit, 8 rib dwarves running around. So, even if it's a Christmas story, it's something as opposed to just straight up evil all the time. Christmas Story at least has a semblance towards the soul and the hope or a different way of being as opposed to misery at all times. So it's one of those, maybe it was Caesar or somebody, I'll just give them bread and circuses and they'll shut the fuck up. They'll keep paying their taxes. They'll keep listening to us. All we got to do is give them, that's the whole thing of the gladiators and the slaves. Just put them in a circular area and have them fight tigers and each other and then give them some food while they do it and alcohol. And we'll be able to control this whole fucking continent. That's all it takes. So I think it.
Sports.
Sports, yeah. I think it's something similar to that. Like, you can't kill the soul that easily, but you have to do something to keep the reality of of it going, even if it's not the truth. Like, we can see through A Christmas Story and the subtle propaganda, but most people aren't even trying to see through it. They're just accepting it. So it's just it works. It works really easy, actually. Yeah. So easy that, if you look down right now, you might be in the costume that Instagram or Target or Mountain Hardware or something else tricked you into believing that you, so much so that you did what they said without even anyone, no one told you you had to, but you did it yourself, which is a great sign of control.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't want to have to tase the masses. You want the masses to just do it themselves, you know.
Also shame. It seems like a Christmas story, even though I don't know this, the whole movie, what I remember of the feeling of it is kind of the feeling of shame.
Mm-hmm.
Because he gets shamed by everyone and his mother, including like washing your mouth out with soap is pretty shaming. The father gets shamed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just seems like a vibration of shame, which is what most families are functioning on.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it's just a good way to like pump out the vibration of shame,
mm-hmm.
which not only does it have that, but it has the added benefit of being from your childhood for our generation,
mm-hmm.
which means it's even more deeply into the psyche without you questioning it or thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
And so then it has a double familiarity of shame feeling, plus you grew up watching it, so it reminds you of your childhood.
Mm-hmm.
So somehow that's like a comforting, it's comforting familiarity.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe it's because, like you're saying, you can't kill the soul.
Mm-hmm.
Like if it doesn't go into the actual magical world, it has to go into the shadow magical.
Mm-hmm.
It has to have a place.
Yeah.
So if it won't go to the actual path of awakening, then it will go into the shadow.
Mm-hmm.
So by providing movies, TV, all of these things, it's like feeding into the shadow magical of a fantasy world, a symbolic world, but it's all filled with the shadow side of things, which keeps people occupied, you know?
It keeps them thinking that their pointless lives are worth continuing. I mean, what if everyone was like, damn, I don't know if just standing watching these carts at Walmart is worth it. Maybe I should try something else. Maybe I should read something that will help me understand my own suffering, dwarf-like rage that, you know, but it just hasn't, you know, people aren't able to see that they should. So they just accept the basic premise of the world and go with it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. Which your family is the first basic premise of the world you get.
Yeah.
What if your family is full of shame? And
right.
They shame everything about your way of life.
Yeah.
And you feel that that's right. And then it makes you feel good to be around them, but not good in the actual sense of the word good.
Yeah.
It makes you just feel familiar.
Yeah.
Which makes you feel like you're a part of something that is something, but it's really just a sick, like duality of something that's truly possible, like love.
Mm-hmm.
Love
has
no shame in it.
No.
But you're supposed to have love coming from society, your family, and these things that you've invested your life with.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't get you're not getting that feeling, but you're getting another feeling that you have just mixed up, that you didn't realize that wasn't love. You thought shame was love and misery, but it's not.
Right.
Guess what? Wake up. Here's the truth. Shame is not love.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's no shame in love. Like you said, I think that's really excellent. That what Joseph Campbell said something in The Power of Myth, he was talking about just the basic Christian values.
Mm-hmm.
And he said something like, love is perfect kindness.
Mm-hmm.
And that really struck me because I thought, Yeah, that's right. And I was saying to you about how just I know with you that no matter what circumstance we're in, no matter how difficult things are, how much suffering is inflicted upon us, that you always treat me with kindness. Always, always, always. There's never an exception. You know, that's perfect kindness. That is what love is. But we are totally brainwashed into thinking that it's not that. You know, that love is shame, love is torture, love is rejection, abandonment, judgment, whatever, meanness, manipulation. None of that is love or is involved in love in any way.
No.
I mean, I think that's a sad thing about Christmas, actually. I mean, I don't really know much about Christmas except for the most basic things because I was raised Jewish and I don't know. But I do know that Jesus taught about kindness and love. That was like his main thing, right? Love. You know, and so then a Christmas story is even more inverted, as you said, or like dark, magical, because there's nothing loving about anything you just described.
No.
So it's not a story of love, it's a story of shame and depressed, I don't know, shut down people, loss of soul. But it's familiar. I mean, it's really evil. I don't know exactly, you know, how do you explain it? I don't know. But it is a mass phenomenon that shame has really permeated the family. I know this is true in American society. And I've heard that it's not as true in some other parts of the world, but I don't know because I haven't gone and experienced it myself. You know, I just know American families, almost everyone that I've had any interaction with, including mine, yours, every other that I've been around closely, is full of shame, abuse of different kinds, and really not much love anywhere.
No.
So it's a perfect way to keep people down. I think as long as you're tied into that dynamic, even if you only do it once a year or you very rarely talk to your family, but that's how it is when you do talk to them, it holds you back. It keeps you stuck in just a wrong view and a wrong thinking about what's possible and who you are. And that's very effective. I mean, if you could keep just that one, if you can keep that myth going, that there's a good book. I can't remember now if it's an Al-Anon book or it's written by somebody else. It's called The Myth of the Family or The Myth of Family. Let me see if I can find it. Because if you can keep that one going, that'll work pretty effectively to keep all the other ones going, you know? The myth of the family. I don't know. Whatever. There's, oh, Hillman. Well, James Hillman has Myths of the Family. So yeah, that provides a good foundation for what everyone needs to be doing in life in general, of participating in their own soul death, in constantly being in a state of shame of some kind. In the culture, you know.
I'm not sure how we got on this.
We started, why did we start with, oh, Freddy Krueger. Then we went to some songs.
Mary Had a Little Lamb.
Then we were talking about childhood things. Then I think you got on to Christmas story. I mean, it's just 2 days after Thanksgiving, theoretically, so that's it's kind of on our mind. But you know, we didn't do Thanksgiving at all.
No.
It was great. It's the best Thanksgiving I've ever had.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
We didn't pretend, we weren't even like saying we're having our own Thanksgiving.
No.
We just had a regular day together. It was really peaceful. No shame at all.
No, not even a little bit of shame.
No shame, no guilt, no having to do anything because of guilt or feeling bad about ourselves or having
No.
to fake anything or any of those things.
No, it was perfect.
So I don't know. It has to do with symbolism. It also has to do with consciousness and waking up. And I think that that's one of our deeper themes of the podcast of why is it important to understand symbolism? It's part of waking up. It's part of starting to realize what's really going on. If you can read the symbols.
Mm-hmm. Are you 8 miles long? Are you 2 miles long? Do you have 256 ribs? Do you get your clothes from the bark of the gift tree, the wish tree? The wish-fulfilling trees. Do the wish-fulfilling trees give you everything you need? And do you go immediately to the God realm when you die? Because there's no difference between you and them, because there is no difference between anything. It's just perfect bliss for tens of millions of hundreds of thousands of millions of billions of countless eons over and over again. Is that you? Are you one of those 8 mile long things out there? Or are you a 1 cubit sick dwarf rolling around a cave awaiting your next grotesque act? I'm not sure. I guess it's up to you. What do you want to be? What are you trying to be? Are you even trying at all? Who are you, actually? What are you doing? Where are you, and why? And where will you be without any mitigation? Do you have the ability to mitigate your own your own existence? Are you aware of the uncreated creation, the face in profile only symbolizing the eternal state of the endless round? Or are you awaiting, TGIF? Urkel, Step by Step. What else was on
Full TGIF? House?
Full House.
Was that too late?
I think Full House was a part of it.
Yeah.
Are you waiting for Michelle to say something cute?
Mm.
Are you waiting for Urkel to turn into his alter ego, who happened to be named Derek?
He was?
Yeah. Steve Urkel's alter ego was a smooth-talking guy named Derek.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's funny.
Are you waiting for Suzanne Summers to do something sexy?
Mm.
I know I was waiting when I was 10 years old.
You had a crush on Suzanne Summers?
I did, yes.
Oh, my God.
When I was 10 years old.
I'm nothing like her.
Step by step, day by day. I don't know the rest. But it's almost like Brady Bunch mixed with, I mean, it's just a Brady Bunch. It's just a man and a woman get married.
Yeah.
And they bring their three kids from each previous marriage together.
Yeah.
And they're like, it's called Step by Step because they're stepchildren.
Oh, I see. I watched it, but I don't remember. I remember the song when you were singing it.
Step by step, day by day. Urkel's coming over as well, but he might be Derek this time. Captain Winslow, I think, was Urkel's. No, that's the other show.
Mm.
Is Family Matters Urkel?
Yeah.
Wasn't his dad a cop?
Yeah.
He was, right?
Yeah, he was.
Okay. That's what I thought.
And then he's a cop in Die Hard.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
Must have been like the same era.
Yeah, I'm sure it was.
Like you play a cop on Family Matters, right? Yeah. Okay, I guess you're in.
America already knows you as a cop.
Yeah, you're a cop now. Thank you, Mr. Winslow.
Well, I guess it just shows you the power of that stuff going into our consciousness. It's still there.
It sure is. It's not going anywhere. I think I'm the same age as Michelle.
Yeah,
and Michelle,
I think you are.
To the end.
Mm-hmm.
We got propagandized like no other, same as you as well, watching Jewish Sesame Street.
I did, yeah.
Hebrew Sesame Street.
Shalom Tzimtzum.
Shalom Tzimtzum. Do you like rockets, little boy? What do you think about the West Bank? You know that we own the West Bank, don't you? Don't you think anything different?
There's all these cuts of small Jewish children running around looking extremely happy on beaches, and they're like free, and that's what Israel's like.
Don't cut to Palestine. Don't cut to Palestine. There's no Palestine.
There is no Palestine, obviously. Yeah, no, I was heavily propagandized as a child, all the way up. I mean, I don't, it took me till college to realize it when I started listening to Noam Chomsky
Oh,
about Israel. I was like, oh my God, I see what's happened. Thankfully, I didn't go. I never went to Israel. I wanted to, but I didn't go. So I didn't get all the way fully in.
fully into the game.
Yeah, you just don't even realize it. I mean, you look back at the songs you sing, all the songs we were taught at camp and this and that. You don't know what you're saying. You know, you just learn it.
Let's hear a Jewish song
Oh
from
God.
camp. Do you have no, at least one?
No. Not at the moment.
That.
Let me think. I mean, we all learn the Israeli national anthem, but I'm not going to sing it because it's really difficult to sing and it just makes everyone sound terrible. And it's very depressing.
Oh.
It's got like this very mournful vibe. You think they would have been happy, like, we stole the land.
We have our own
Let's
state.
party.
It's ours. It's been ours for thousands of years now. Don't you even think about saying it's not. Don't you know anything?
We don't have a lot of listeners yet because we just alienated half of them.
It's okay. They love alienation. People
Yeah,
love to
that's
be
true.
alienated.
That's true.
Then they love to eat turkey. Then they love to have their mom tell them how fat they are. That's what they want.
Right, exactly.
Oh, you look good. Did you get a haircut? Why? Yeah, it looks pretty good. I mean, I guess it's okay. Did you? Is that a new dress? It's a little tight. Did you just buy it? Maybe you should try a bigger size. You know, you're not 34 anymore, Julie. You're 57. You can't wear that
Yeah.
size anymore, and you look like a mustard squeeze bottle. So just next time you come over for Thanksgiving, I want you to wear khaki high-waisted pants
Yeah.
and a very, very, very baggy sweater
Yeah.
so that we don't have to be assaulted by your disgusting body.
Yeah.
That's how it feels when you're your grandma's.
Definitely.
Welcome to Granny's.
Yeah. Now I'm also trying to keep part of my brain going on propaganda songs, but I can't
Oh
think of
yeah,
anything
sorry,
at
I
the
fucked it
moment.
up.
That's okay. A lot of propaganda songs about Israel and
Yeah.
like, you know, just pro Israel. Israel is the promised land. Israel is our place we want to go. Everybody wants to go to Israel. It's very Sagittarian, actually. It's like a fanaticism and a dogma, but it's like focus on the future. There's this idea of the future, like a lot of Jewish rituals and prayers, a lot of them they would end in modern times, they would end it with next year in Israel. That was the wish, everybody's aspiration. The achieving the highest possible thing as a Jew is going to Israel in that belief system. So it's that's what you learn. Like Israel is this, it's a magical world. It's the realization of the dream,
I see.
and it's future oriented if you're not there right now, which obviously we're not, and no Jews in America are.
No.
So yeah, and then
They're in
it's
Taos
they are in
or
Taos.
Galisteo, possibly Santa Fe.
That's true. Yeah. So the Sagittarian shadow side of just getting stuck on one thing, one way, one set of beliefs, like the whole Zionist project is very Sagittarian.
The Zog
What's that?
in white power, the white power belief system, there's this thing called the Zog,
Oh.
Zionist Occupational Government,
Oh, I see.
and they control everything about the government and the mainstream media.
American government?
American, yeah, the
Uh-huh.
Zog.
I see.
Possibly they could also be in control of other countries like Britain, any pro-Israeli countries, which are pretty much every all of them except for the Middle East
Well,
and
kind
Russia.
of, you know. That was the interesting thing I learned when I started studying some of the stuff. It was around the time when the Iraq War started in 2003. I started doing all this reading, and what you find out is that a lot of countries have been really against Israel and have tried to sanction them for human rights violations, war crimes, all kinds of things. But the US has overpowered yet the United Nations, and the US vetoes, won't vote along, never will punish Israel for anything it's ever done. And I think the UK has also generally been on that same program. But there have been quite a few other countries that have tried to stop Israel from what they're doing. But I don't even know. I mean, the interesting thing is we haven't even studied what's happening, what's happened in the last, I mean, it's been at least 10 years since I read the news. It's probably been 15 years. So I'm sure that it's just the same thing that it was, same thing over and over again. But we're not currently in it.
Right. Yeah, who cares? Whatever.
Yeah.
Same old thing.
It's just symbolically. Symbolically, it's maybe relevant to what we were talking about,
I
but.
don't know. I got an email from a patch company recently, some military patch company, God knows why. One of the patches they were trying to get me to buy was a picture of a horse, unicorn looking horse with a rainbow behind it, and it said Sagittarius. And I don't know
What does that
who,
mean?
I don't know. I don't know who they're marketing. Am I, are they marketing that to SF dudes who are Sagittarius?
There's a red-tailed hawk outside
There is?
flying up in the sky.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
Cool.
It's over by the power line. Yeah, I don't understand that. I don't
It's weird.
it didn't have any of the other
No, that's the only one I saw.
the fuck?
So, what I was wondering when I got that email is, whoa, what has happened to everything? You know, you have to incorporate astrology into army, ex-army soldiers.
Yeah, weird.
Wow. Next thing you know, on the cover of Soldier of Fortune, there'll be a guy wearing fucking corduroy high waters and a raspberry beret holding like a gay ass MP5 saying, you know, we're doing it for the ancestors. That's how far we've gone.
We're trying to heal ancestral rage. Throw it back to your last episode.
Soldier of Fortune now with the on the cover is a transvestite.
Oh, careful. I don't know if you're using the right words.
Either way,
They might come for you. Yeah.
there is no they,
That's true. They don't
as far as I can
exist.
tell.
I liked what you said earlier today. How did you put it? You said, I think it works like if you don't worry about something, then nothing bad will happen.
Yeah, if you don't worry, nothing will ever happen. Nothing bad is possible. It's impossible for anything bad to happen if you don't worry about it. It's how could it? But I've found out that's not always the case. Things still bad do happen, but then you just deal with them in the moment. You don't have to worry about it happening. It will happen either way.
Yeah, you said something like, if you don't worry about it, nothing bad will happen.
Right.
Or at least I believe that. Something like that.
Yeah.
What did you say, though? It was funny.
Oh,
I lost it.
well.
But I don't know why that just popped into my mind for what you were talking about. It had no relation at all to the topic in any way.
That's okay.
I don't know how. I mean, maybe astrology has gotten so permeated into social media and all the stuff that it's now become mockable. Maybe that's it. Maybe it's part of the whole like Joe Rogan
Oh.
SF culture to mock astrology
Oh, yeah, maybe.
because it's become mainstream social media, just like you're mocking the ancestral rage thing. Maybe that's what's going on,
That could be it. Yeah, that makes sense.
which is too bad.
I understand the mocking, though. That's for sure.
I understand the mocking too. I mean, anyone that ever talks to us about astrology that says they're interested, the very first thing I tell them is stop looking at astrology online anywhere. Just don't do it. If you want help with astrology, we'll help you. But don't look at it on social media. By God, please, no.
No.
And don't just Google what does Mercury mean in my chart? It's not going to be useful or real information 99% of the time.
No.
So, yeah, I mean, isn't that interesting? Why now? It's like a resurgence of what happened in the 60s and 70s with astrology.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's gone further, probably because of your Pluto and Scorpio peers
mm-hmm.
have latched onto it as magic and witches and mm-hmm. whatever the fuck they're doing. And they've turned astrology into something like that. Because it does seem to have become somewhat mainstream for people to know something.
It has. I mean, everyone, even a horse trainer knows
yeah.
about Virgo.
Right.
How?
Social media.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she's on social media. Yeah, it's got to be social media. There's no other way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's no other way for people to get information, at least in the mass way.
I don't think so, no.
So I don't know. I don't know what that means, or if it's just like a sign of a dark time that things that are actually true and could be useful are perverted
mm-hmm.
and turned into something else as like a way to flip things to the shadow side. Like you were saying, you know, flip love into shame.
Mm-hmm.
You can flip astrology from an amazing tool that's true into a bunch of bullshit. You know,
yeah, just into a bunch of symbols that mean nothing.
Yeah,
that just go nowhere.
Or like hashtags
mm-hmm.
turns astrology into hashtags
mm-hmm.
and trends or something, so that you can just hashtag Scorpio life or
mm-hmm.
whatever, you know.
Yeah,
and then that completely denudes it of having any meaning or power. It's a good way to. I mean, there's only two ways to crush something.
Mm-hmm.
One is to co-opt it and distort it and turn it into something else. And the other is to try to just outright crush it.
Mm-hmm.
They tried outright crushing him. It worked pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
The church pretty successfully crushed astrology for quite a long time.
Yeah. I mean, it's still not viewed in a positive light.
Right. Exactly.
By any mainstream anything, really.
No.
I mean, you're not going to get a degree in astrology.
Right. Right, exactly.
And live next to Dr. Bill.
Right.
You're going to live in an apartment
yeah.
next to Crazy Susan. That's where
you're going to live in a school bus
yeah.
in Carson, New Mexico. Yeah.
Are you living in a school bus in Carson, New Mexico right now? Are you driving a 1981 Toyota truck that has the bed cut off, and then that got turned into a flatbed, and on the flatbed are three dogs just standing there while you drive around drunk? Are you listening right now on your AirPods sticking out of your ear as you walk around the supermarket looking for groceries, completely blind to the world, listening to NPR? Or who knows what you're listening to? Maybe you're listening to us. If you're listening to us right now and you're in the store and you have AirPods in, take them off. It's yeah, rude.
It is rude.
I mean, damn, that's rude. What if someone needs to ask you a question?
Right.
No one's going to ask you a question if you got headphones on. It's like the most rudest thing you could do.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Besides, like, I mean, I'm wearing sunglasses inside all the time.
But there's a reason for that.
They're prescription and I can't change them. You know.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I don't know where I went with that.
Oh, we were making fun of people living in school buses.
Oh, yeah. Are you living in a school bus? Are you living in an earth ship? Are you living in a crappy earth ship that someone else tried to build,
yeah.
but then they abandoned it after 1 year because they ran out of money and ran out of skills and didn't have any skills to begin with? And now you have no way to get the solar passed, the well passed, the septic passed by the county because it never was going to pass in the first place.
Mm.
But you're stuck with a $200,000 clubhouse that has no use. If you're listening to this right now, then you know, that's okay. You're gonna make it someday. Eventually you will make it, but we're all gonna have to learn to make it by letting go of this nonsense that we've been living in.
Mm-hmm.
Let Ralphie go. Just let him go. Goodbye, Will Ferrell. I mean, you're telling me Will Ferrell playing an elf is what fucking Christmas?
Yeah.
Fuck that. Yeah. Are you nuts? Let go. How old are you right now?
Yeah.
You're 40 years old and you're watching Will Ferrell pretend to be an elf? What in God's name has happened to you? Go in the bathroom right now and look at yourself in the mirror and say, what happened to me? And then do something about it right now, right. Immediately.
Right.
Are you wearing sweats right now? It's the middle of the day. Put on some pants until bedtime and never, ever, ever wear the sweats outside.
Especially if you're a man.
If you're a man. If you're a woman, okay, whatever. You're on your own program. But if you're a man, sweats are out. Anyone wearing sweats outside that's a man, no. Unless you're 97 years old.
Maybe.
And you're being escorted by some nurse. Real man. Then do not do it. It's wrong.
I love your thing, too, about men wearing flip-flops. That was excellent.
Yeah, it's wrong. You can't run. How are you going to run in flip-flops? It's like you went to the sauna, but you decided, fuck it, I'm just going to go to Walmart, too, and to buy some weed, and I'm also going to walk my dogs, and all in flip-flops? No. Right. That's wrong. Look down. Your feet are completely exposed to knife throwing. Right. Someone will get a knife stabbed into that foot so fast. I mean, you throw a knife at my foot, it's got to go through leather.
Yeah.
It's going to bounce off my foot. Your true. Foot is fucked. Oh, man, I see that hawk.
Yeah.
I think we saw an eagle earlier as well.
Yeah.
A bald eagle.
I think so. Which makes sense because the bird book says that the bald eagles are in this area in the winter. So maybe that's why.
Oh, yeah.
We haven't seen them before. They must come down this way.
Oh, that makes sense.
Though. Yeah. But it's still pretty cool just mm-hmm. in terms of the timing of our life transitions.
Are you a bald eagle flying around right now with your AirPods in, just ignoring all the other birds? That's rude. Take the AirPods out. Just fly around like a regular eagle. You don't have to wear a beanie. You don't have to dye your tail feathers blonde. Just fly around. Eat rodents. Perch around on things. Mm-hmm. Be majestic. Mm. That's your thing. You don't have to wear AirPods.
Definitely. I love that.
Okay, thank you.